What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Live on location from iconic Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville, it's the 15th season of Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb, shining a positive spotlight on the Mid-State High School football scene. Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb, is also brought to you by Tim Leeper Roofing, Wesley Financial, Rockwood Sustainable Solutions, IEI Inspection Experts, Sam's Sports Grill and Sam's Place, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Amplify Awards and Gifting, and Roy's Meat Service. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan and the Game Nashville Sports Network. Now, here are the hosts of the show, Greg Pogue and Coach Bubba Spears. You're
sampling the best. Welcome into Prep Football Talk. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, filling in for Greg Pogue this week. But I am still alongside the one and only head coach, Bubba Spears.
Thank you, Coach.
Spears, good morning to you.
Good morning. I hadn't seen you in a while.
I know. It's been a minute. We were just at a football game last night. It was James Lawson High School and Stratford at Stratford. And, boy, was that game a back-and-forth chess match. 0-0 throughout the game. Went to overtime. Ends up Lawson High School winning 6-0 in the overtime quarter.
It makes Lawson start out 3-0 for the first time in school history, short school history, because it, you know, being a new school and all.
Right, yeah. I mean, Ontario Hardesty was just very adamant in trying to get the win regardless of the scoreline. A win's a win. I think you know that well from your coaching career. A win's a win. You go on to the next week.
What's the old cliche? A ugly win beats a pretty loss.
Yeah, exactly. So. And, you know, we can kind of get into some of these pretty losses here and there, and one of them could be pretty losses, pretty wins. Smyrna. The Bulldogs take down the Giants of Oakland High School last night. First series since 2011, Smyrna puts up an unlikely Region 3-6A title candidate right in the mix of the top playoff seed. I mean, that's their first regional win, and for Oakland, this is an anomaly.
Well, you know, Oakland's sitting up there on the pedestal. That's the one you got to knock off. And Smyrna's got a new coach, also the brother of Coach Williams. Another Coach Williams comes in. So Matt's done a good job. Mark went into administration, and what a big win for Smyrna, but and for the kids. But to go to Oakland, and I know Coach Creasy, he's back at work, but they scored the last score with about 38 seconds to go, and it was no doubt. He said he was going for two. Quarterback made a good play. They get it. And, of course, they go on and win. So it's a big win. And Smyrna's been there in the past. They've had their name up there with the Oaklands and the Riverdales and everything. So it's good to see that. But, you know, it's you got to knock off the king in order to be the king.
Exactly. So, and you got to treat yourself like you've been there before. I think that's something else that Smyrna has done a really good job with. And we even heard from the head coach last night of the game blitz on 1-2-5 the game after their big victory. You know, he was even talking about the guys on the bus. It was a little rowdy. We tried to feed them some food to calm them down.
I heard you
can't come down off that high, Coach Spears. You know that from the fact.
No, and the bottom line is it's 14 to 18-year-old kids, and they got to be kids. Mm-hmm. And how long has it been since Smyrna's done something like that? And it's a big win. The biggest thing there is they beat Oakland, number one. Number two, now they're in a tough region. And, you know, he said he's got a 24-hour enjoyment time, and then they get back to business because they go back to Siegel. So Smyrna with a big win there. And let's talk about another team with a big win. Green Hills, after getting shut out by Page the week before, the Hawks go in and back-to-back last year's Class 6A state runner-up, Ravenwood, come. And what a game this was, 29-28. What a rebound from the week before. So, you know, coming back from getting shut out 36-0 and coming back beating Ravenwood last night 29-28.
Yeah, you know, that's a program that's really tried to find its true identity the last season and a half, and I think last night showed its true colors of coming up on top.
Well, you just can't count them out. Since that school's been up, they started off strong, and they continue there. So they know how to get the win.
Yeah, and they move on to 2-1 on the season. And, you know, I feel like for a player, from a player's perspective, and I know it's from a coach, when you have a winning record through 3 weeks, sometimes when you have that 1-2 record, you kind of feel deflated as a player. Like, am I doing something wrong? But as for Green Hill last night, getting that 1-point victory over Ravenwood 29-28, as a coach, when you hear your team being 2-1 on the season, what kind of momentum drags you into the next week that way?
Well, anytime you got a winning record, it keeps you going. But you just got – it's an old cliche, every coach. It's one game at a time. Now let's go 1-0 this week.
Yep.
So, you know, and you're going to see that happening off and on all year with teams. And you're going to have an upset. But your players arise to the occasion. And you know, and a lot of things go into it. It's a lot of work for both sides of the ball. Just like any schools that's playing one another, you put in a lot of work.
Absolutely.
And your reward is on Friday night.
Yeah, and then you get the entire crowd cheering for you. Another team that, you know, works real hard week in and week out is Montgomery Bell Academy. MBA with a 40-36 non-region win over Franklin Road Academy. Obviously, that won't affect their playoff seedings, but the Big Red are 3-0 on the year. They got a pretty confident, you know, season ahead of them with that Division II Class AAA East Region. And the thing is, we saw them play week one at Pearl Cone. That is a resilient team. They threw, two or three pick sixes. Charlie Verner, the quarterback, struggled in that first half against Pearl Cone. But last night, it was a high-scoring game. Let's say defenses may not have been the strongest, but I think this NBA team's starting to find their identity offensively.
And they didn't beat a slouch team in FRA. Coach Rathbone over there, he does a great job. Got a great quarterback itself. So to go in there and get the big win there, and there was a lot of points, like you said, scored 40-36. But, you know, the first two or three games you find in these teams, just like Pearl Cone does, you're picking up outside of your region. Mm-hmm. And you want to pick up teams. Some teams want to pick up teams to make them better. Some teams want to pick up to get the wins, like you're talking about, get the wins. Me personally, I like to say, hey, I want to go play good competition, and I want to see what we really have and get ready for our region because, everybody's region is going to be tough.
I agree. No, 100%. And I think you look at that division specifically. I played in that Division II AAA. It's tough, and it's evolved. Now you have Knoxville Catholic. You have Lipscomb. You still have Innsworth, McCauley, Baylor. Obviously, Father Ryan, JP2, the list goes on in that division, and it just gets tougher and tougher from the private schools division. But when we get back to the public schools, Nashville Christian last night, another two-time defending Division II single-A state champion. You know, they're coming off that high of having a guy like Jared Curtis as their quarterback. They get the big win last night, 19-12
Donaldson Christian.
My goodness. Brain's not working. It's early this morning, Coach. Sorry about that. No, they get a big win over Donaldson Christian, 19-12. What have you liked out of Nashville Christian this past
year?
Well,
the way that their quarterback has stepped up and their team totally has stepped up. And here's again, Nashville Christian plays competition to get ready for their region. And Nashville Christian is sitting pretty good in the middle region after that 19-12 victory last night. So Coach Brothers always has his team ready to play.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll get into more later on in the show as, you know, we'll be joined by Craig Ladd, as always, at the end of the show for the scores. We will also be joined by the one and only Wes Elrod at 9:30 for the prep legend this week. And we'll get a little bit of some, you know, we talked about that Division II Class A. We'll get into a little bit more of that. But as for the scores, Bubba, give me a little bit from what we saw last night.
Okay, let me go over a few scores here just running them down real quick. We're not going to read them all.
If sure.
If you want a scoreboard, you can go to the TSSAA website and go on, and you can get all scores from East, Middle, and West Tennessee there, and all classifications. So,
there you go.
We're going to touch on just some of the ones here. Antioch still stays at 3-0, beating West Creek 45-0. VGA beat Pearl. Beat Pearl Cone 49-6. Briarcrest beat Ensworth, which was a shocker to me, 42-17. Not the win, the score was the shocker there to me, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Then Davison Academy beating Clarksville Northeast 33-15. We have East Nashville with a big win over Hillsboro, who was undefeated.
That's right.
And East Nashville, a lot of points scored in this game, 52-40. And we will see Hillsboro on our Metro Game of the Week next week, going to Maplewood for a big game there. Fairview goes to 3-0, beating Hickman County 47-6. Forest, and we'll talk about them a little later, beats Mount Pleasant 54-26. Also, Green Hills, we mentioned Green Hills winning 29-28. Lawson, we mentioned them winning 6-0 in overtime. Clarksville Catholic, big win for Clarksville Catholic over Lipscomb Academy, 21-20. That was a barn burner. Lebanon beats McGavick 49-14. Maplewood, who we'll see as the game of the week, hosting Hillsboro next week, beating Cane Ridge 33-14. And of course, we mentioned NBA 40 and Franklin Road Academy 36. Also, big game last night in the borough was Riverdale 38 and Blackman 14.
Off to a great start.
And again, let me repeat this. This will be our last score that we'll give today. And it was one we'll repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Smyrna, a big upset over Oakland 22-21.
An incredible win for Smyrna High School last night over Oakland. And we'll get into more as we are broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service for Prep Football Talk. Coming up next, we will get into the one and only Tim Leepers, Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week, as always, right here on Prep Football Talk on 94.9 The Fan. Dr. Brandon Frazier, head coach Bubba Spears with us. We're breaking down a little bit of some Tim Leepers Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week. Bubba, who do you got to nominate this week?
Third week. I'm going to go with Noah Green, Davison Academy. He was 11 of 17 passing for 232 yards, one touchdown, had an interception, but with a big win, 33-15 win over Northwest.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great stat line, and I think – beating a team like Northwest, it's difficult. And when you can kind of separate yourself as a player like that, fantastic. As for my nomination this week, I'm going with Kaysen Young out of East Robertson. Young was 18 for 26, passing for 294 yards and four touchdowns. Not one, not two, three, four touchdowns. That's a big number there.
It's good for East Robertson. This name here was mentioned a lot last year, and it'll be mentioned a lot more this year. Quincy Mitchell from Forest, the running back, had 22 carries, 334 yards, five touchdowns, two catches for 104 yards and a touchdown, and their 54-26 win over Mount Pleasant.
Woo! 22 carries for 334 yards. That's some big numbers there, Bubba. That is big numbers.
Right.
My goodness. My next one I have is Walker Hobbs out of Cheatham County. Hobbs rushed for 249 yards and had a touchdown on 29 carries, and their 35-21 loss to Stewart County last night. I mean, regardless of the score line, 249 yards on the ground and a touchdown, that's a lot from a running back, especially at the high school level.
Well, we have this one here. It's going to be mentioned a lot because we mentioned his name when we had opening game. Henry Perry of NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Perry had finished with two interceptions, four field goals for PATs, and a successful onside kick and a 14-yard run on a fake punt that helped NBA erase a 13-point second-half deficit in their 40-36 win over FRA. So Henry just about does it all, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, he's a Swiss Army knife. And for those that don't like special teams, let me tell you what, special teams matter in the game of football.
Yes.
Henry Perry from Montgomery Bell Academy is the key to why that program is up running 3-0 right now.
Well, Nick, now it's where we say it's time to vote.
Indeed.
It's hard for me. Henry Perry had a good night. I'll tell you this. Quincy Mitchell at Forest, 22 carries, 334 yards. And also, he had five touchdowns and had two catches for 104 yards. So I'm going to go with Quincy Mitchell.
I'd have to lean that direction as well, Bubba. I'd have to go with Quincy Mitchell as well. As for myself, I'm going to stick with my first one. I'm going to go Kaysen Young at East Robertson, going 18 for 26, 294. I mean, that you can't go wrong there. But, I mean, if we have overall pick one of one, it's Quincy Mitchell.
Okay, it looked like we're going to Forest.
Indeed.
We are going to Forest. Greg will go to Forest since he wasn't here today.
He can do all the field work for us.
There you go. I like that.
Indeed. Let's switch gears a little bit, Bubba. Let's go over to the phone lines as we have Brentwood Academy quarterback Cruz Jenkins on the line along with his coach, Paul Wade. Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Appreciate it. As we get you joined in here, obviously last night not the result you're looking for, but, you know, being the Tim Leeper Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week for yourself, Cruz, how does that make you feel?
It felt good getting that. I was happy with the way that the whole team came together against Brentwood, and we fought hard, and we just operated at a high level.
Coach, when you see a guy like Cruz come into the offense and command it so efficiently, how does that make you feel as a coach?
Good. Anytime you have a guy that can complete the ball and with the accuracy that Cruz does, it makes play calling a whole lot easier.
Coach, we really appreciate you coming on. I know it was a tough game last night, tough loss. We talked about this when we came out and took the picture. Here you are playing a team you really knew nothing about because it was their first game, and they come to your place even though they could get film on you. So that's awful tough. You know, you're going into it blind. But
swapping game film for scrimmage tape is never a good sign, and you know, it makes it more difficult. They had not that it's an excuse for the game, but they had a few players that had on different numbers, so we really didn't know who was who in the scrimmage tapes because they just got on practice stuff, and it made difficult at times for preparing, especially when you're trying to get matchups on guys and where they're aligning when you can't really see. But I mean, we had opportunities to make it happen last night, and we just didn't finish it out.
Well, Cruz, this is Coach Bubba Spears. Let's get back to your second week there that you had, where you won our player of the week, and you was 20 of 25, 371 yards and four touchdowns, and you carried the ball for 18 yards that night. Tell us a little bit about that game.
The O-line played really, really well, and I was able to just sit in the pocket pretty much all night long and just deliver the ball to my guys. And
Cruz Jenkins, Brentwood Academy quarterbacks online with us. Cruz, when it comes to just being poised in the pocket like you're talking about there, courtesy of the offensive line, where have you seen your game progress the most from the beginning of the offseason up to now?
I would say not forcing the ball. I say when it's not there, I did it a few times with Brentwood, but taking off and running or just hitting the flat or hitting the check down. I feel like I've improved a lot on that.
Coach, when it comes to just this team in general, obviously having a tough game last night, but where have you seen some of the biggest growths in this team offensively and defensively?
Well, I'm not sure we're there yet. That's part of our problem, is that we're too up and down. We've got some very talented kids, and we've just got to pull this thing together a little tighter against better people. You know, no disrespect to Brentwood, but when they're sandwiched in there between Baylor and St. Joe's, you know, obviously we're going to have to play really good football to beat those teams. I guess if I had to give you an answer, it would just be the understanding of what we're doing. We put a lot on these guys. We have a lot of guys that play both ways. So, you know, having to go to a full day of school and then learn an offensive defense and then compete at a high level against the teams that we face, that's a very mental stress. And then when you do compass that with the heat that we've been dealing with, you know, we've had a rough couple weeks of just trying to prepare to go against these opponents.
Coach, that's something that I was going to bring up, and you hit on it right there. It's been tough the last couple of weeks with a heat index the way it is, because it's certain heat index. You can't get out and practice through, you know, TSSAA rules. How have you dealt with that? And looking ahead, it looks like it's still going to be another week of the high heat.
Well, we've been fortunate. We're Brentwood Lies. A lot of times we get the front end of any kind of west to east movement in the weather. So it usually comes through a little bit earlier, and a lot of times it'll actually cool stuff off if it's a rain involved. But we've been lucky. We don't get out of school till a little bit later than other people, so we don't get out till later. So that helps. We actually moved up to the grass one day, the old grass field that's almost completely encompassed with shadow after about 5 o'clock. So that helped up with the temperature. But we've been real lucky. I'd like to give a shout out to the donors that helped us put the turf on this year. We were able to put that upgraded ground fill in there that does help with the temperature, and you can really tell a difference. On the difference of the fields that we've been on in the last couple of years, the fields that have that stay cool, dry stuff in there, it really does help with the temperature of the turf.
Well, that's something that, you know, like you said, putting that new turf on, the temperature, because it wears and tears on your legs when you practice on it all the time, doesn't it? And you, like you said, you slip up there and get on the grass field every once in a while.
It does, and we're fortunate enough that we're able to get not only a new turf, but we got a new state-of-the-art turf that, believe it or not, that even at my age, my hips and my knees haven't hurt like they have in the last couple of years with the old surface that we had.
Well, you know, every day it's something new, and the turf, it seems like everybody's going to, but it's certain types of turf you can go to that's better than others, and that's something that the coaches, you know, have to decide what they want to do and what's best for their program, and, of course, the money factor comes in there also.
It does, and I would encourage everyone to try to raise as much as they could to get the top of the line stuff, because it is definitely a different surface.
Coach, I know that it's early in the season. It's only 3 weeks, but looking down the road, as I am, you're going to be there. It's just a matter of time when you're getting your team ready to play. Paul Wade's team's always ready to go against the next opponent.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I hope so. When we do have a long season still to go, and the fact that we haven't even got into region play, heck, two of our next three opponents are not even region games. So, you know, in the scheme of things, I'm not going to say that they don't matter, because they do matter. But as far as our standings at the end, they potentially don't matter. So we've still got a lot of good football ahead of us, and with a guy like Cruz back there at quarterback, I think we have a bright future this year ahead of us.
Absolutely. Brentwood Academy coach Paul Wade and Brentwood Academy quarterback Cruz Jenkins joins us here on Prep Football Talk. Cruz, congratulations on being the Week 2 Tim Leeper Roofing Mid-State Player of the Week right here on Prep Football Talk.
Thank you.
I love it. Absolutely. Well, you guys have a great weekend. We'll catch you guys on next Friday night as you guys host a home game and hopefully get the morale up higher than it was this past Friday night. So thank you guys for joining us, and we'll talk to you down the road.
I appreciate it.
Thank you,
guys.
Thanks, Coach.
There you go, Bubba.
This is the second week in a row that our Player of the Week played the next game. And we need to turn that around, because it's tough. We appreciate Coach Wade and Cruz coming on after the loss that they had last night. But that's just a class act of them coming on and joining us this morning, and we thank them both and wish them well.
Yeah, and, you know, that's not the only guest we got coming up. Another one. That's the Wesley Financial Prep Legend of the Week. And it's a name I think a lot of Nashvillians and the Middle Tennessee area, if you're familiar with high school football, know this name. And we'll tell you coming up next. He actually coached at McGavick for a little bit. And I think one Joe Dubin, who's on our airwaves, may know this gentleman himself. So we'll get to more of that on the other side right here on 94.9 The Fan, live from Roy's Meat Service, on Prep Football Talk. We'll get more on 94.9 The Fan.
Face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies.
He fits this segment perfectly. Yes. Bubba Spears, Kenny Chesney come back with Boys of Fall there. As we get to the one and only Prep Football Talks, Wesley Financial Prep Legend of the Week, and that's the one and only Wes Elrod. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Doing great. What about y'all?
Doing just fine. Had a couple sausage and biscuits. I think we're filled up. I know Bubba Spears has a big old smile on his face.
Always great to talk to Coach Elrod.
Bubba's always got a smile on his face. Coach Spears has always got a smile on his face. Yes.
Hey, Coach, just to go over just a little bit of your rundown, spent 46 years teaching and coaching in Middle Tennessee, 23 years as a head coach.
I think that's 48. 48 years.
Well,
yeah.
I got to update that, Coach. I got to update it, okay?
Okay.
23 years head coach at Donelson, North, Maplewood, and McGavick. Overall record of 173-81-2. Worked at Cumberland University for 4 years. Coach, here's the big thing. You've been inducted into the TSSAA Hall of Fame in 2013, inducted to the Tennessee Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame in 2014. And at your various schools that you coached five players that played in the NFL. And you're still doing it, Coach, because I didn't even mention, I'm sorry about you publishing several books, developing the website jetsweep.com. So, you know, you even write about it, and I know this, and some of the coaches are still calling you about the wing tee.
Well, a few. I shut down my website the first of this year, but I started up a Facebook page called Hybrid Wing Tee Coaches that if any coaches would like to visit. You know, most of the offense you see now in Middle Tennessee, though, everybody pretty much running the spread. There's not a lot of wing tee teams now.
Well, they don't run the wing tee, but they run stuff out of what you used to run the wing tee, the jet sweep.
Right.
And you know, and the sally back inside with a wing back, you know, when they go in double wing and stuff like that. Saw a little bit of that last night. But in your opinion, Coach, what's some of the big changes that you've seen since?
Well, of course, the big changes are is of course the spread offenses. I think some schools are trying to run it that maybe don't have the material to do it, but. It's kind of fun to watch. It's what I call fast points, and some of the old wing tee stuff is what I call slow points. And I'm an old school slow points guy. I like to have those 6 and 7 minute drives if I can. But it's a different game than it was when I was coaching back in Metro. Yeah.
Yeah, Wesley Financial's Prep Legend of the Week, Coach Wes Elrod, is online with us. Coach, when it comes to seeing these modern-day offenses, and, you know, here's one gripe that I have with these current offenses. It's inside the five or even on the goal line. I know a former McGavick player himself, Joe Dubin, has griped about this as well. Why are coaches deciding in these spread offenses to take a play from shotgun and you're 4 or 5 yards off the ball, you're already giving yourself a disadvantage? I mean, I cannot comprehend the current mind of a coach doing that.
Well, if you'll notice now, most of your NFL teams that do a lot of spread type stuff are, you know, all of the NFL teams will have some under center stuff. I agree with you. I think sometimes when you get down in the red zone, you need to get a little closer to the ball. But again, these guys coach it. The big difference, I think the big thing I see, it's like when I was at Cumberland and I realized real quick, we had about three times more time to spend on offense than high school coaches do. So in high school, when I was doing clinics, I used to tell the coaches, I said, time is your mortal enemy. And I think a lot of it just goes, they don't have the time to do that much is would probably be the answer. Or, you know, maybe they don't have anybody that can teach how to do a quarterback center exchange for old Tammy, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I agree with my old buddy Joe. I sometimes don't understand that myself.
Yeah, Joe has definitely griped about it on these airwaves before of why are we snapping the ball from the 5 yard line when you could be getting it under center at the one or the two. He's definitely a a hidden gem when it comes to a conversation like that. But you mentioned the word time, and I'm intrigued to get your thoughts on this because the evolution of Metro Nashville Public Schools has evolved throughout time, and I think looking at the modern-day version of just the product itself has evolved in a bright light for that division in itself.
Well, I've watched two or three of the Metro teams play this year. I think there's five teams that can still compete at the higher level. You know, Pearl Cone's good, Antioch's good. I've seen White's Creek on film. They've got a real good quarterback, and they got a new coach out at Lawson. I think he must be doing a pretty good job. But again, it is a different game than when I was a coach in Nashville. The thing I'm disappointed on is there's no crowds. I don't know how they, to be honest with you, I don't know how they buy equipment, because when I was coaching, you had to have gates good enough to support, you know, your equipment that you bought. Mm-hmm. Football and basketball were, you know, self-supporting, and the other teams sometimes had to do fundraising. But the crowds in Nashville, the ones that I've seen, are kind of disappointing, you know. I don't know how they support themselves.
You know, Wes, you bring up a good point. And this is we had the third game of our Metro Game of the Week last night that we broadcast on radio. And it's something that I've made a comment on every game. The crowds have been great. Our first game that we had, that we opened up, you know, when we went to Antioch, they had a good crowd at when Antioch and East played. Pearl Cone and NBA had a great crowd. Last night at Stratford, Lawson's crowd, their sideline, their benches, the stands were full, and Stratford's was three-quarters full and had enough around the fences to fill it up. And it's the best – three game series that I've seen in our year and three games that we've been doing the prep high school football Metro Game of the Week.
Well, that's great to hear. I know a couple of Lebanon people up here said last night, you know, when McGavick played, they didn't have it about 50 in the stands. And I was watching the Green Hills Ravenwood game, you know, and now Ravenwood's a heck of a program. And
right.
The visiting crowd there was kind of thin. I think there's so much stuff now that you can see on YouTube and, you know, on radio and stuff like that. I just think it cuts down, you know, like myself, I'm not going to get out and go watch a game if I can watch it here on, you know, on TV. But that's great to hear, because I had noticed in recent years that some of the Metro crowds were not as good as we used to have, you know, Bubba, when we were still coaching. And that's great to hear. That's really good.
You know, Coach, you're right. I mean, but that's one of the downfalls of people not wanting to schedule Metro schools. And, you know, we used to say this, you know, when you went to play NBA, they had a packed house.
Right.
I was shocked at the NBA crowd at Pearl Cone on opening night. And, like I said, they were out there. When I pulled in the parking lot, we try to get there on the 7 o'clock game 2 hours before. At 5 o'clock, they tailgate. And that
that's
was
great.
Pearl Cone had tailgaters.
That's really good. I know, you know, like when I was still at McGavick, we used to always try to have what we call two money gates, you know, and my money gates were always Father Ryan and Mount Juliet, because we knew that we were going to get a good visiting bunch. And, you know, because back then, Bubba, what you brought in at the gate was how you bought equipment. So you had to not only schedule good opponents, but you had to schedule – and I called them money gates. And, of course, Ryan was always my measure game. We wanted to play them to see how good we were, you know. And so it's different today, but it's still great to watch. Still great to watch. I still enjoy it. I'm still helping a couple of teams up in Kentucky that are running my style offense. I help them on huddle. And so I still get to see a lot of game films. Like I got to watch that White's Creek quarterback play on huddle, and boy, that kid's a heck of an athlete. I know the one at Antioch is supposed to be real, real good. I haven't seen him, and so there's some real good players in Nashville at this time.
Well, I tell you, when we had the Antioch East game, the East quarterback is phenomenal. He's already committed to, and I've made this statement on it, he's committed to Western Kentucky.
Wow. Well, and I watched the Green Hills Ravenwood game last night. They got a kid, I think his name is Will Butler, and I think he's a Marshall commit. And boy, he was all over the field last night. That was a great game to watch, and Ravenwood helped him a little bit, but Green Hills got a great win.
Yeah, Coach Elrod, when it comes to – you mentioned the numbers and the crowd in some cases. You know, obviously it's new technology. You can watch the games from home. But right. But do you think potentially that there could be opportunities for high schools to maybe co-op in some cases for roster numbers as well?
Well, you know, I know Pearl Cone gets them from Martin Luther King, and I think this team up here in Mount Jewett tried to partner up with somebody. You know, I don't know. If you don't have the numbers – you know, you go to a lot of the big cities up east, and they don't even have football anymore. So I don't know. You know, I'd hate to see that. But I guess if that's the only answer to get a squad, I guess you would. You know, of course, when I was coaching in McGavock, I think the biggest squad we ever had was about 130. But we would generally have, you know, 80 or 90. And even when I was at Maplewood, we were a small – Triple A was the biggest class then. We were a small Triple A school, but we would always have 70 or 80. So it's just a different time. There's more things for the kids to do. Now, I think the coaches are not helping it a little bit. I think they're tying up these kids year-round. I mean, you don't see any three-sport athletes anymore, and you see a few twos, but you don't see any three-sport athletes anymore. And it's because each sport is demanding more time.
Coach, I got to wrap this thing up, but I have to ask this question because I was asked by my coach to ask this question. What's the record of the golf matches that you've been having the last couple, 3 years? I'm not going
to
say what he told me it was.
I'd have to say Coach Pig and Coach Harnett have kind of put it on us pretty bad. We have what we call a cart scramble, and we've been doing that for the last 5-6 years in hopes that we don't have to hit a bad shot, you know, each time. So, me and Coach Fryer, the former basketball coach at Mount Juliet, we play at Pig at Harning. I'd have to say they're a little bit ahead of us at this time.
Well, because he told me, he said, you need to ask him the last question, ask him about that match. Coach, well, we appreciate you being with us.
Hey, I appreciate y'all. Appreciate what y'all doing for high school sports, Bubba. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you, Coach, and I appreciate you. You was a great mentor for me when I was coming up in my time, and I really appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you, man. Y'all have a great day.
Okay. Thanks.
There you go. There's your Wesley Financial Prep Football Legend of the Week, Head Coach Wes Elrod. Coming up next, Bubba, we'll get our one and only Craig Ladd as he will break down some of the big games coming up right here on Prep Football Talk, live from Roy's Meat Service, right here on 102.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living.
Back here on Prep Football Talk, wrapping up the show live from Roy's Meat Service, out here with Head Coach Bubba Spears. Now we go to the phone lines, the one and only Craig Ladd. Mr. Ladd, how are we doing today?
Hey, we're doing great, Nick. Great to hear your voice over the guys normally there. It's a breath of fresh air.
I'm glad I could provide that for you today. What do you got for us on your side of the line?
Well, guys, you know, this is another exciting slate next week. We'll start this off with Nolensville at Blackman. Nolensville 3-0. They knocked off Overton last night 41-0. It's the best start for the Knights since 2023 when they began that campaign 5-0. Their defense has been stellar all season, only allowed 28 points. They are led on offense by Ryan Newell and their quarterback and running back Tim Lifmay. They key in offense and averages 26 points a game. Blackman, first loss of the year, losing the backyard brawl to Riverdale 38-14. In that game, this is a concern. In that game, quarterback Chase Bell suffered an injury in the first half after a 7-yard TD run and didn't return to the game. So his availability obviously a question mark for Coach Will Hester's team. Last season, first meeting all time between these two teams, Blackman won by a score of 42-7.
Another tidbit on that game, Craig, as you said, Will Hester at Blackman. Of course, he's been at Ravenwood for years, so he knows about the Nolensville tradition. And you know a young man that I found out that is coaching out there, Richard Coor, used to be on my staff at Hillwood and East. He's at Nolensville, so it's good to see him back on the sidelines too.
Absolutely.
Mr. Ladd, let's see here. For the second game, and I got to preface this. Last night, what a crazy ending. Smyrna, Oakland. And I'm intrigued to see how they bounce back for this next game coming up.
Yeah, how many times, guys, do you say that Oakland's limping into the next game? that would be none, hardly. You know, they had their 23-game region win streak snapped last night with the loss to Smyrna. Their first region loss since October the 27th of 2023. So it's been a long time since Coach Creasy and his team has suffered a defeat in the region. But Oakland, you know, they have a strong rushing attack, guys. They averaged 345 yards per game on the ground going into last night's game, led by junior Jacob Vaughn, who's rushed for 268 yards and a couple of touchdowns. You know, Pearl Cone, you know, another loss last night, and this one to BGA, a very good BGA team, 49-6. You know, guys, we've seen this group before. You know, the Firebirds started 0-4 last year before ripping off 10 straight wins on their way to the 4A state championship game. So no reason to throw in the towel if you're a Pearl Cone fan. Their offense has been sputtering a little bit, but they still got plenty of talent with Toledo commit quarterback L.J. Funk and Western Kentucky commits wideouts Landon Left and Steven Salter.
Absolutely. And moving on to the third game here, one of the metro schools, East Nashville, and this is a Thursday night game. Who are they going up against?
Going to be against Beach. This should be a really good ball game, Nick. You know, Beach, they opened up the season with a tough loss to Green Hill, 15-13, but they've ripped off a couple of impressive wins over Mount Juliet and then going to Henry County. I don't care what kind of team Henry County's got. Going there and blanking them 27-0, that's pretty impressive with that win. East Nashville, 2-1, a shootout last night. They won over Hillsborough 52-40. You know, Bubba mentioned him earlier, Dallas Covington, the Western Kentucky commit. He passed for 160 yards and a touchdown, and his rush for 299 yards and a pair of scores going into last night's game. These two teams met for the first time last year, and it was a tight ball game. Beach ended up winning 22-19.
I'm intrigued by this fourth one you have on the list, Innsworth at McCauley. Obviously, Innsworth loses to Briarcrest last night, and McCauley giving a run for their money against Father Ryan, 23-16. How do you see this one shaping up?
Well, guys, you know, I was kind of surprised by both those scores, to be quite honest. You know, and as Bubba said, I wasn't surprised that Innsworth lost, but by that margin was surprising. And, you know, Father Ryan hung with McCauley much better than I thought they would. That was the first loss of the year for Innsworth. You know, they looked to bounce back behind one of the best running backs in the state, E.J. Gibson, who rushed for over 1,400 yards last year. And then through 2 weeks, he's rushed for 473 yards. McCauley 3-0 after knocking off Father Ryan last night. Their fortunes they kind of rest on their quarterback, Louis Fortier. Guys, he is a monster. Listed at 6'5 and 248 pounds. He's a junior. He's passed for 743 yards and 6 scores going into last night's game. This will be the 21st meeting between these two teams. Which began in 2007. Innsworth has won 11 compared to McCauley's 9. So expected to be a close ball game.
Wow. And the fifth and final one on this we have here is Page at Brentwood. What do you like out of this matchup? I feel like a Brentwood team that has always been a tough, battle-tested team year in and year out. What do you like out of this one?
Well, you're right, Nick. You know, these two teams, they've only played one time since 2002, and that was last season, and Page won 30-0, which was their first win over Brentwood in six previous meetings. You know, Page, they're the defending 5A state champions. They won their 17th straight game last night, 34-3 over Hendersonville. Kansas State commit quarterback Cameron Cruzy passed for 241 yards, three touchdowns in the victory. You mentioned Brentwood has improved to 2-1. They shut out Summit last night, 34-0. Their excellent signal caller, Gavin Strang, terrific game, 11-14 through the air, 215 yards, and four touchdowns. Also, Parker Cates, he combined for 148 yards rushing and receiving and three scores.
Other games that we need to watch next week also, Siegel at Smyrna. Of course, Smyrna with a big win last night over Oakland, and it's a region game. DCA at Providence Christian. DCA coming off a loss to Nashville Christian, so that'll be a big game for Providence Christian with Coach Everard starting, you know, getting in that program. Then we got Hillsboro, which will be the Metro game of the week. Hillsboro at Maplewood, two probably good friends, best friends going against one another, and Coach Jamal Stewart and Coach Simpson at Maplewood. Then you got Columbia at Marshall County and Springfield at Station Camp.
A good lineup of games right there for sure. Mr. Ladd, appreciate you hopping on once again for another week of Prep Football Talk, previewing the games. That's all the time we have today. Live here from Roy's Meat Service, Prep Football Talk with Bubba Spears, normally Greg Pogue, Dr. Spring, Nick Frazier sitting in. We'll see you guys next Saturday morning, live from Roy's Meat Service right here on 94.9 The Fan.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.